Well, coming up on today's show, electric car sales soar to 1 million in Europe. Global EV sales pass almost 500,000 in a quarter. And Mercedes-Benz unveils the first image of their all-electric EQC. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Monday, the 27th of August edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Firstly, thank you to myev.com for helping make this show. They've built the first marketplace specifically for electric vehicles. Totally free, and it simplifies buying, selling and learning about EVs along the way as well. And they've set a brand new question of the week. I'll tell you that at the end of the show. Well, I'll kick off with the news. There are now more than 1 million electric cars in Europe after sales soared by more than 40% in the first half of this year, new figures reveal. According to Adam Vaughan, who writes for The Guardian, by the way, someone I would say is well worth following on Twitter, not just for EV stuff, but environmental stuff as well. Now, Europe hit the milestone nearly a year after China, which has a much larger car market, of course, but ahead of the US, which is expected to reach the 1 million landmark later this year, driven by the appetite for Tesla's new Model 3. Between January and June, around 195,000 plug-in cars were sold across the EU, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland, a 42% increase on the same period a year before. A note of caution to those thinking that that might be a huge number of pure EVs, by the way, that is the number for plug-in cars. That includes plug-in hybrids, of course, which is cars that burn fossil fuels at one point or another. By the end of the year, though, the total will be 1.35 million, and yes, a proportion of those are full battery electric EVs. Not only a lot of cars being sold, but what I love about that 1 million figure, it's a lot of cars, yes, but it's a lot of all the stuff around the cars. It's 1 million chargers being put into people's homes and commercial premises. It's 1 million people telling their friends and family, you've got to buy an EV. It's 1 million people applying for things like government credits in the countries that it exists. All of those things send a really powerful signal. I think it's just fantastic. A lot of calls to insurance companies as well, and educating them when you call up and say, how do I insure a car because I lease the battery? And going through the first five people that go, I don't know, I'll pass you on to the supervisor. All of those things, general spreading of knowledge about EVs. I absolutely love it at the moment, and it's such a cool number to hit. 1 million in Europe now. The share of EVs, by the way, on average, I'd say about 2%. There's the usual outliers. Norway's the big one. This time next week, I'll be in Norway, just saying, at a massive 37%. Although the total sales there, in terms of the numbers, are relatively small. They look like they'll be overtaken by Germany, for instance, by pure volume sometime later this year. And yes, as I mentioned, this Friday, we head off to Norway for a week there to go and check out one of the most beautiful countries in the world, but also the state of the EV market over there. See if I can talk to a few EV owners, a few maybe EV evangelists in Norway. Go check out the infrastructure and all those kind of things. Looking forward to that. We leave on Friday this week in 4 days' time. So just working out what we'll do with the podcast. Definitely got some specials lined up to bring you, but maybe, if I can, bring you some stuff whilst I'm over there as well. Really looking forward to going to a country where some months, half of new car sales has been electric cars. Well, staying with the sales numbers for now, for the first time ever, global sales of EVs broke through the barrier of 400,000 units in a single quarter. Well, EV sales for the second quarter of 2018, April, May and June, were around 411,000 EVs sold around the world. That's up 77% over the same quarter last year, according to Global Fleet. In Q4 2017, so you go back to the end of last year, global sales were just under 400,000. Then, in the first quarter, it dipped to below 300,000. So what's causing that? Well, much of the fluctuation is caused by the Chinese market. On its own, China represented 225,000 of those units last quarter, about 55% of the entire global EV sales market. China is just huge. In the past quarter, EVs accounted for almost 4% of all car sales in China. It's enormous, really. The manufacturers benefiting most from EV sales in China. Domestic ones like BYD, Build Your Dreams, and JAC, both Chinese-owned. Nissan, Toyota, Renault and Tesla also doing well. After China, the second largest EV market was Europe. That was just over a fifth, 90,000 plug-ins sold in Europe in Q2. Closely followed by North America, 78,000 units. I'll put a link to all of those numbers, if you're a stats fan, in the show notes. Well, a 14-second video made its way onto YouTube today, and it simply showed the front corner, the front left corner, of a new Mercedes EQC. It was turning its lights on, 14 seconds, not much, is a slide at the end which confirms the full unveiling of the car will be next week. Well, the EQ sub-brand is what Mercedes will call all of their electric cars. The EQC, the first of those to be built from scratch as a pure EV, but we're looking forward to things like the EQA, it's been registered as a trademark, the EQS, been registered as a trademark, and so people are saying, well, is that going to be equivalent to the A-Class, the S-Class? And I think that would be a pretty good guess. On Twitter, Daimler, however I say it, I get told off, said this: Mercedes-Benz is flipping the switch. On September the 4th, we'll present our first all-electric Mercedes-Benz model of our new product and technology brand, EQ. Here's the very first design detail. Stay tuned. It's interesting, just looking at that little 14-second clip, it looks like it stayed very close to the things that we've seen recently. The latest spice shots of the car saw all of the usual padding and camouflage, sometimes really disguising the shape of the car, all make way for a more conventional tight wrap, if you like. That showed off the curves, the lines of the car, and more of the finer details. I'm going to stop going on about it now, but once again, they say the 70 kilowatt hour battery is going to be in the new Mercedes EQC. And to my tiny head, my idiot brain, 70 kilowatt hours just seems so small for a car that size, that big, a big luxury SUV going up against the Model X Tesla, the Jaguar I-Pace, the Audi e-tron Quattro, 90 and 95 kilowatt hour batteries respectively on that, if I remember correctly. Even though Mercedes has said it'll do 310 miles on a charge, that was using the old-fashioned NEDC way of measuring, which has got days left in it before WLTP kicks in. For an SUV that size, that weight, I'll stick my finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and say I can't see it doing more than 220 miles in real world, and that's really going to let it down. Maybe the saving grace is Mercedes software engineers have done a stellar job on efficiency, but we'll see. I mean, I'd love to be proven wrong, because I want all of these legacy OEMs to be making incredible cars to take the fight to Tesla. Even though the unveiling is next week, you won't be able to get hold of one until at least next year. It seems like a very early unveiling. Well, I've mentioned Tesla. Let's talk about them. For those not in the US, including, obviously, myself, not in North America, some education on J.B. Hunt, a major trucking firm with more than 12,000 trucks and 100,000 containers in their fleet. They know their trucking. It's interesting how so many chin-stroking analysts, so-called analysts, have, over the last few months, turned up on TV and writing blogs, and even analysts working for financial institutions, and saying, oh, Tesla can't do the Tesla Semi for that spec. It won't do that range, can't do it for that much money. Well, sometimes leave it to the experts, and the experts are those spending money on it every single day. Follow the money. J.B. Hunt were one of the first to place a reservation for the Tesla Semi. And they know what they're talking about, because that's their business. Well, Fred at Electric says this: we discussed during the Electric podcast earlier today, if Tesla can deliver on that promise, the expected cost of operation $1.20 per mile, it will be a no-brainer. $1.50 per mile is the industry average, by the way, for diesel. For companies like J.B. Hunt to quickly convert their fleet to the Tesla Semi, diesel truck makers just don't believe Tesla can bring to market a long-range all-electric truck with those kinds of economics as soon as next year, which is when Tesla plans to release the vehicle. They want to see the proof of the vehicle's capacity and economic advantages, and photos which showed up on Twitter and Reddit later in the day today showed a long queue around the parking lot, and snaking around the semi-truck, just people waiting for their turn to climb up the steps and sit in the cab and take a selfie and take a picture. Well, if Tesla's semi can cover, say, 100,000 to 200,000 miles every year, that is a serious amount of pollution off the road for each and every truck. Now, the cab pics that I've been looking at today make the inside of it look very comfortable. Center seat, everything in balance, everything either side of you, and really pleasant. More like a car than a truck and a commercial vehicle. That's good to see, because those people who spend their life on the road to bring us the goods that we use in our lives should have the most comfortable life they possibly can. Those that spend all their time in that seat, it's good news. But of course, I should point out, I do know, by the way, that those trucking companies will make purely economic decisions, regardless of how comfortable the cab looks. If it's cheaper than diesel, they'll use one. There's no romantic ideology wedded to these old trucks that they have in their fleet. It's simply a case of economics. Well, I almost didn't talk about this next story because it's just a show car. It's just a concept. It's not really real, but, well, hell, we love it. A bit of fun and folly from Mercedes. Mercedes-Benz unveiled their new EQ Silver Arrow. It's a show car at Monterey Car Week in Pebble Beach. It's a one-seater, and it's a pure electric EQ Silver Arrow, an homage to the successful record-breaking 12-cylinder W125 built by Mercedes-Benz in 1937 as the Grand Prix racing car. Says Green Car Congress, the EQ Silver Arrow is conceived to be an EV with an output of 738 horsepower and an ultra-thin rechargeable battery in an underbody with a capacity of 80 kilowatt hours, except it isn't, because it's just made up. But, you know, we do like a concept, we like a show car, but they're not really real. The specs they give them can be anything. Anyway, we'll finish off with a bit of diesel. New forecasting research based on analysis of trends revealed in the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, the SMMT, sales data predicts that electric car sales will surpass diesel in July of 2020. I think that's a UK story because it's in the LondonLovesBusiness.com website. Diesel cars have continuously slumped following the VW emissions scandal last year and the government announcement that they will be banned from 2040. With Nissan and Toyota stating they'll begin phasing out diesel cars from 2021, the latest data showing sales have fallen by 37.2% over the last year, the end could be nigh for the diesel fuel type. And I'll put a link to that article in the show notes. A personal story on diesel, by the way. My wife still has a Golf Blue Motion. You know, the stoppy-starty thing with low rolling resistance and all that kind of stuff. But still, a diesel. Driving it home today, the little spanner symbol came on the gearbox warning. So that, for those that don't know, used a DSG gearbox, which is now infamous with VW if you read the internet. And I'm hoping it could be a bill of a few hundred pounds to diagnose and fix it. If it is the full works, it's in the thousands. And these bits just don't exist on EVs. And that's the really gutting bit, because we almost bought her a Hyundai Kona a few weeks ago when it clicked to buy first went live. She wasn't quite sure, just holding off. Maybe the new Leaf, maybe she favours the Renault Zoe. We didn't do it, but we've been talking about selling this diesel for obviously a very long time because it doesn't fit in with what we both believe about emissions and electric cars being the future. And we haven't got round to it this summer. We've both been very busy. She doesn't like driving it. We don't like owning it. We've wanted to get rid of it for a long time. And now, a big bill in the thousands, I reckon, heading our way. I mean, the car's worth $4,000. So it could be the ridiculous situation where we spend $2,000 to sell it for $4,000. It's going to be an expensive month. Keep your comments coming in for our question of the week. By the way, how much do you spend on charging your EV at home? Well, this is a question hopefully designed for current EV owners that listen to the podcast to help educate the EV curious who listen. Has it made a large difference to your household bills? Did you change energy tariff? Let me know in the comments section of YouTube or Facebook. But I want to say a heartfelt thank you to the 65 patrons now of this podcast, whose generosity means that I get to keep making this show, hopefully, We entertain and inform thousands of listeners every day. Maybe at the end of each podcast, you feel like you've learned something at the end of each month, that you maybe enriched your knowledge a little bit. If you want to check out the Patreon site, you can do. And if it's something that you have been thinking about, then the address to look at is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. It's patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Some big plans for the podcast over the next few weeks and months, and you would be funding that progress. Thank you very much to our latest patron of the show. Thank you very much for supporting Tom Wickland. Tom, you're a legend. Thank you so much, sir. Tom Wickland signing up yesterday to support the podcast. If it would be your name you would like to hear next, you can check out the page. There's 223 previous episodes of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the usual places, the blogs, evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe now, well, then you get it first and free and automatically. So why wouldn't you? And if you could leave a little rate and review in return, that's really helpful. Come and say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.